going to jump in a good rabbit hole tonight, and we won't finish this tonight. We'll develop it some more Sunday, and then possibly we'll just see how it goes from there. But before we get started, man, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Keith Carter, you want to lead us in prayer tonight? I'll turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to hit two or three places tonight, but we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me move this. I was listening to Papa Bill Johnson this week, and he made a statement, a phrase that jumped in my spirit when I heard it, and I knew it was a word for me. He said the phrase "faith explores," faith explores, and he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood and talking about many things. It's probably the longest sermon I've ever heard him preach, about a 2-hour sermon, and he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood, and he was talking about the how faith explores and how faith presses into places that are not familiar territory. True faith does. And so God carried me on this beautiful journey in this. I've been really pressing in on it and saying, God, I want you to speak to me and reveal your heart to me concerning the depths of this and all. And he carried me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so I'm going to read that as a backdrop for us. Let me read a few notes before I read the scripture. Some things I wrote down, some of my thoughts. I said, what if we explore the heart of God? What if we explore His nature? What if we go beyond His recorded commands and recorded miracles? What if we go beyond trying to achieve the law or just getting by with His mercy and grace? What if we take a journey into the heart and mind of God? We have this Word of God, and it's beautiful and it's lovely, and I love the Word of God. It's awesome. It's His letters to us. But do not think that this is the totality of God. Because if we think that we can capture God in 66 books, then we are insulting the depth of God. And I love this, and I don't want anybody to think that Brother Sid's slighting the Word and all of that. I'm not. I love it. I revere it. It's the breath of God. It's the inspiration of God. And I think every bit of it is hugely, hugely significant to us. But what this does is this reveals God to us so we can begin a journey into a personal journey into relationship with Him. It doesn't totally contain Him, but it reveals Him. And then it says, now that I've revealed myself to you, let's take a journey together. And the Lord carried me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read it. I think I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. And we're going to go some places. You know, I encourage everybody, and for the last several years, the Lord has been giving me and Lori words for the upcoming year. And these words are always significant. They're specific. And they set the tone for our year. And one thing that I have found is that the Lord manifests these words throughout the year. They become reality. The words that He's given without fail, these words that He gives us, you know, it's like a theme for the year, if you would. Maybe that's a good way to describe it. It's like a theme for the year. And He says, this is what the year is going to be. And He might give us one word. He might give us three words, four words. It's not a lot of words, but it's the few that there are very, very significant. And Lori, I believe that, I told Lori I was really excited about teaching tonight. I believe this is one of the first words that the Lord has given us for 2020. And that word is faith that explores. Faith that explores. Just before I read this in 1 Corinthians, because I know a lot of you, you're going to be like, maybe not that many, but some of you would be like, well, I don't know, brother, you know, I cut my tooth on KJV Bible, and if it ain't in there, it ain't right, and it ain't God, and all of this stuff and all that. Let me ask you a question. The woman with the issue of blood, we all know the story. It's recorded in three of the Gospels. We're going to be in Mark looking at it tonight, but everybody's familiar with that story. Where in Scripture did she see that if you'll slip up behind Jesus and touch the hem of your garment, you'll be healed from your sickness? Wasn't in there, was it? She had no reference point to the act of faith that she committed other than something stirred inside of her. Something moved and something stirred and deep called out to deep. And she said, if I say yes to what's going on in here, I believe that heaven might respond. And she had no point of reference. She had faith that explores. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. That's the sounding board that we're going to jump off, that we're going to launch out into tonight off of that. I'm going to go, the Lord carried me to Jonathan and his servant and the great victory they had in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I love, the whole story is beautiful. And I don't know that we'll get time to read a lot of it tonight. But in this story, Jonathan, the children of Israel are oppressed by the Philistines big time. They've got garrisons, they've got forts and all of this stuff. They are the dominant military and everything. Saul, Jonathan's father, has been made king, and he's had some military success, but then he has incomplete obedience to God, and Samuel comes to him and says, the kingdom's going to be taken away from you. And so we've got a picture of Saul with 600 men, and the word says they're hanging out under a tree up in, I can't remember where it was at, but they're hanging out under a tree, and basically they're doing nothing. Because they said, man, I've blown it, and I'm not going to be everything God, you know, it may be designed for me to be, and maybe I'm mad at God, and maybe God's mad at me, and I'm licking my wounds. But there was total inactivity going on. And Jonathan's sitting around, and he's basically saying, man, this is bull mess. We're sitting around doing nothing, and these guys are oppressing our people. And it's not right. It is not right. So he looks at his armor bearer, and he said, let's go up to the Philistine garrison and see if God might do something today. And so they go to the Philistine garrison, and it describes it, and it's between two sharp rocks, and it's up on perched on this peak between the sharp rocks. And he said, when they get there, you know, his armor bearer, man, he's just following him along. And when they get there, he looks at his armor bearer and he said, let's come in and let's reveal ourselves to the Philistines. And if they say this, then we won't go any further. But if they say this, then we'll know that God's delivered them into our hands. And we'll go up. Basically saying, we'll go up and attack. And I love the armor bearer's response. He said, whatever is in your heart, I'll do it. Whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. Whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. That goes beyond, this is not my job description. Because we come in and we try to figure out the job description of a Christian. We come in and we try to figure out what all the laws mean and all the statutes mean and all the commandments mean. And when we get that figured out, then we'll jump to the Beatitudes and we'll try to figure out what the Beatitudes mean. And we'll try to do all of those things. We'll try to be good Christians and we'll try to get it right and try not to screw this thing up. And you know where God wants to take us? To where we get to the place and we say, God, whatever's in your heart, that's what I want to do. Not trying to get you to say yes to what's in my heart, but I want to come in and what's in your heart, God? And if this is in your heart, count me in. And if this is in your heart toward this person, I'm in. If this is in your heart toward this country, I'm in. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how inconvenient it is. I don't care how much it stretches me. But if this is in your heart, count me in. That's what his armor bearer said. And doggone, I absolutely love that. Isn't that what Jesus was when he came to earth? He said, Yahweh, Father God, whatever's in your heart, that's what I'll do. You want me to be born to humble myself and be born of a little poor virgin girl? I'll do it. You want me to spend 30 years toiling as a carpenter? Y'all think about it, man. Jesus spoke all of creation into existence. He said, let there be light, and it jumped out of his mouth. 186,000 miles per second, and it hadn't stopped because he never told it to stop. He formed man out of the clay of the earth and breathed his breath into him. He did. Jesus did all of that. And yet, it was in Father God's will for him to come and be born to a young, poor, virgin girl and to toil as a carpenter. I created all of this, and I'm going to make cabinets for 30 years. You think about that. Whatever's in your heart, Father, I'll do it. Oh, you want me to go be baptized by John? And he goes to John and said, I need to be baptized you. Why you need to be baptized me? There's no sin in your life. This is a baptism of repentance, and there's no repentance, no need for repentance in you because you've never sinned, Jesus. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so. And so he baptized him. And when he baptized him, the Holy Spirit came and descended on him. And the Word said that it rested upon him. And heaven shook, heaven tore, heaven erupted. The same word where it says that after Jesus, when he gave up the Spirit, and it said that the earth was rent, the heavens were rent, the veil of the temple was rent, that's that same word that we say, the same word that we say for when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened. It's the same word. And Father God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He said it again on the Mount of Transfiguration and then said, hear ye him. He said it again. And Jesus' whole heart was, whatever is in your heart, Father, that's what I want to do. Whatever's in your heart, God. And I want to tell you something, guys. I want to study this. The Word says, study to show thyself approved. It reveals God. I want to be disciplined in it. I want to follow its laws. I want to follow its statutes. I want to follow its teachings and all of that stuff. But I want to go beyond the point of just being able to follow the law. And I want to be in the place that I'm in such relationship with Father God and such relationship with Jesus Christ, such relationship with the Holy Spirit that I say, Father, if it's in your heart, I want to do it. Whatever your heart is, Father. Whatever your heart is. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 8. King James first, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and this is quoting out of Isaiah 64, as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Corinth about 60 AD. Jesus has been dead, resurrected for over 30 years. And he comes in and he is quoting scripture and declaring it to be so now. And he says, I has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So he's saying at this point that we've got the whole Old Testament. We've got some of the New Testament. We have gotten the written word. We have seen Jesus in the flesh in ministry for over 3 years. But he says we hadn't seen it all and we hadn't heard it all. We've seen a lot. We've seen good. We've read a lot. We've read good. We have seen Father God. We've seen Jesus. We've seen the Holy Spirit revealed to us in this word. But we haven't seen him in his entirety. I like when a bride comes down the, every once in a while I get thrown in a curve and I'm like, ooh, really? But typically I like it when a bride comes in their wedding dress. To me, it's a holy moment. And they come down that aisle. I really like it. I'm old fashioned. Okay, I'll say this. If some of you guys did not do this, this is not a cut on you. This is not an insult to you. I like it when the groom does not see his bride until she walks down the aisle. Me personally, I like it. To me, it's revealing. And I know the big thing now is, oh, it's all about the pictures and it's all about this. So we're going to get together and we're going to take 2 hours of pictures before the wedding starts. To me, it takes some of the magic away. Because I've stood next to a lot of grooms that have not seen their bride until she hit that aisle. And you know what happens when they see her and when she hits that aisle? They light up and most of them start crying a little bit. And usually I start crying a little bit. You know what doesn't happen when they, I don't even mean to get into this. I don't mean to get into wedding stuff by any means. But listen to me, Michaela. Any of you single people here, y'all listen to me, okay? But after they've spent 2 hours taking pictures with them in their wedding gowns and all of that stuff, that moment loses some of its magic. But getting off that stump and getting back into this, she is revealed to her bridegroom. But does she know the bridegroom? Does he know her in her entirety? Does she know him in his entirety at that moment? No. The proper response is no. No. Robin, I bet you and Paul are still trying to figure each other out. You know, y'all have known each other a year and a half, and you still trying to, you know, been married for a few months, still it's good, it's glorious. I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's amazing and beautiful. We're still in that process, and we've been married for 36 years. She revealed herself to me as my bride on August 27th, 1983, when she walked down the aisle wearing a dress that she picked out to say, I do to me. She revealed herself to me on that day. But I'm still on a journey of discovery into her heart and her mind and her will. Okay? Are y'all getting this with the scripture, what we're talking about right here? Everybody good? Are y'all good? All right. I just don't want you to stop short of saying, man, I believe John 3:16. So do I, but where does it take you? I followed all the Ten Commandments. So did the rich young ruler, but where did it take him? He walked away sad because he couldn't sell all he had and go follow Jesus. And the Word said Jesus looked on him and loved him. What if he'd been the 12th apostle when Judas fell? They wouldn't have had to drew lots in the upper room, would they? Just saying, perhaps. And so we're on this journey of discovery, this journey of faith where we come in and we're exploring the heart of God, the mind of God. And he comes in verse 10. In verse 9, he says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered into your heart yet. There's stuff that hadn't entered into my heart yet concerning God. You say, man, I don't get it. Stay engaged. It might click one day. I wish I was more passionate about kingdom stuff. Stay engaged. It might click one day. I'm convinced that if you keep people around it and around that atmosphere, that they will fall in love. So much of what we want to do is we just want to create an atmosphere in everywhere, but in our house, I want to create an atmosphere where my grandchildren grow up around the presence of God. And I don't preach to my grandchildren. But you know what they're around? The love of the Father. And I'm not talking about this Father and this Father. I'm talking about this Father. They're around mercy. They're around grace. They're around peace. They're around hope. I rebuke negativity. I don't have negativity in our house. I don't hang out with people that are negative. I don't. I do not hang out with people that are negative. If you're a Debbie Downer, that's probably why me and you don't hang out and don't do dinner together. Probably why we ain't never ate at Brown Dog. Because y'all Debbie Downer. I ain't got no use for it. I refuse to have it around my grandkids. And our house is going to be a house of peace. It's going to be a house of hope. It's going to be a house of love. It's going to be a house of joy. It's going to be a house of the nature of Yahweh. That's what I want to create and what we are striving to create as a culture here at Victory Fellowship. So that all our children that are back in class right now and in children's church every Sunday morning, that's why it's important for me for the kids to be out here doing worship. A lot of churches just suck them on out. I like them to be in here. You know why? I want them to be around the atmosphere of worship and praise. I want them to be able to look on the stage and see Madeline and Noah worshiping God. I want them to be on stage and see James Siegel over here with a guitar, Linda Carter on a keyboard. I want them to be able to see Pastor Sia down here dancing and worshiping before the Lord. Because it gives them permission to do the same. So we're trying to create that culture. And he said that things have neither have entered into the heart of man, that there's stuff, and we get frustrated because we say, I'm not there yet. Stay engaged. One thing, and when I talk to a lot of you guys, and I've talked to guys for years and years and years in the Blake House and all that, and they're like, man, I'm really struggling. And I'm having a hard time seeing it through, especially sometimes when they get to the inner healing and all of that. There's really two big mountains that I get with guys. And that's when they first come in and all the rules and all that stuff slap them in the face. And they're like, man, I don't know if I can do this. And a little bit of that rebellion bows up and all of that. And they're like, man, this ain't cool. And this is too rigid and I don't like this and all that. And you know what I always say? I say, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. And then when they get to the inner healing, they're like, man, inner healing sucks, and this is hard, man. I just, you know, because to start with, it's the Blake House that's putting all the rules out. And so you have a hard time with that. But then you come and you get the inner healing, and then all of a sudden God's gutting you like a fish. And you're like, God, I don't like this. You know, to start with, it's like, Shane, I don't like this. And then it's like, God, I don't like this. And you know what my response to you guys on that is? It's the exact same. Stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. And you say, it's not in my heart yet. Stay engaged and stay the course. Because in this scripture right here, he said, there are things that have not entered into the heart of man yet. I'm convinced that my love for him is still in its infancy. And I've been doing this for over 30 years. I've been madly in love with Jesus for over 30 years, and I am still convinced that my love and my adoration and my worship and all of that is still in its infancy. Because there are things that have not yet entered into my heart because they have not been seen with my eye and have not been heard with my ear. And when I see this facet of God and I see this nature of God and I understand this love of God and I see this beauty of God, you know what it's going to do? Then it's going to enter into my heart. And it's going to become part of who I am. It's going to become how I believe. And so it says that this is not entered in yet. So everybody in here, you say, man, I ain't feeling it. Stay the course. I'm not passionate. Here's what we do is we say, I'm not passionate. I'm not passionate. And so what we do is we'll count that out and we'll say, that's my personality. Everybody in here is built with passion in them because God created you in His image and He is extremely passionate. So you know what I say? Stay engaged and stay open. And it will enter into your heart. I'm not saying it'll manifest like everybody else's. But passion will manifest in your heart. Passion for Him, passion for life, passion for people. It might be passion for simply going and helping other people. It might be passion, man, I'm just going, you know, Keith, you're in ministry, man. I know it's a job and you get paid and all that, but you're in the ministry with the Atlanta Safe House over there. And I want you to be passionate about that, not just it's a good gig, but be passionate. And God, that'll enter into our heart. All right, let me move on or we're going to get bogged down right here. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So he's saying that you're going to, what was the promise of Pentecost? Go and tarry in Jerusalem. What was the promise in John 14, John 15? I'm going to send another Savior to you. We talked about it a few weeks ago. I'm going to send another Savior to you. He's going to save you to something. He's going to bring you into something. So you go and you tarry in Jerusalem and you wait for Pentecost and the Spirit's going to come and He's going to fill you and He's going to dwell within you. Now, if we've already got everything, then why do we need it? If all I've got to do is read this and follow the rules, that's our approach to Christian life, and that's why we get bored with it. Because we're not exploring anything. We get bored with our faith because our faith stops exploring. I'm so excited about 2020 because 2020 is going to be a year of faith that explores in my life. Faith that explores. I want to get into this journey to the heart of God where we come in and we say, Lord, what do you want us to do? What's your heart? What does your heart want to do? Because whatever your heart wants to do, count me in. Just count me in. Whatever it is, whatever it looks like. He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So he's saying the things of God, the heart of God, the nature of God, man in himself cannot know it, cannot comprehend it. How do we get it, guys? By the Holy Spirit that's living within us. So that's how we're in this faith journey, this faith that explores. And then he says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So he said, you don't have the spirit of mammon, you don't have the spirit of the world, you've got the Spirit of God. That's why the Word says we're a separate and peculiar people. It's not because you act weird. It's not because you don't do this stuff and you do this stuff. It says because I don't have the spirit of the world, I've got the spirit of what? Heaven. Residing inside of me. And not only is He going to lead and guide me into all truth, He's going to lead me and guide me into this journey into the heart of the Father and the nature of the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal all of this to us. Because we say, man, I just don't know. I'm trying to follow the law. Get beyond that, guys. God wants to take y'all to a deeper place than that. God wants to take you to a deeper place than that. I tell you what, I tried to follow the law and failed miserably. I'm doing way more better on my journey into the heart of the Father than I was in trying to get all the law nailed down. I'm doing way better on my journey into the heart of the Father. I had let me read this with just a Passion Translation real quick. We're going to look at verse 9. This is why the Scriptures say things never discovered or heard of before. Things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all His lovers. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, He has revealed to us His inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by His Spirit, the Spirit of God. Man, we could keep on. Y'all study this. We're going to develop this some more. I had a... Here's the thing, this journey into the heart of God, this faith, this faith that explores. It really carries us into uncharted waters. I talked to you about the woman with the issue of blood, and we'll address that in just a minute. But when we come in and we say, I don't have a precedence for this, but if this is the heart of the Father, I'm going to go with it. I don't have a formula for this, but if this is the heart of the Father, I'm going to go for it. I think that, I'm convinced that's the reason that all of Jesus' miracles look so different. Sometimes, if he had a formula that worked, why didn't he stick with it? Because he didn't want us to follow formula. Sometimes he'd come in and he would speak to a disease, he would speak to a demon, it would leave. He would speak to a disease, speak to a person, they would be healed. Sometimes he would kneel down in the mud and he would spit in the mud and make mud cakes and put it in her eyes and go tell them to wash in the pool of Siloam and they would be healed. Sometimes he would tell somebody in the Old Testament, Naaman the leper, go dip in the nasty Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And he always did these things different without formula because he did not want us to get dialed into his list. He wanted us to get dialed into his heart and his nature. And so that's where this woman with the issue of blood, she tapped into that. And I'll read that scripture in just a second. I had a conversation this weekend with a friend, and she's a married lady, and they're doing real good right now, and God's just really blessing them. Got a lot of cool stuff happening in their life. They've really been blessed financially and all of that stuff recently, were able to acquire a nice piece of land that joined their land, expanded their property and all that. And we were talking, and she initiated the conversation, not me. Okay, that's important in this thing. She initiated the conversation. And she said, man, God has just proven himself to what he says in his word. She said, we hadn't always tithed, but we started tithing. And my husband got on board. And we're one in what we're doing on this. And she said, we started tithing and God just started blowing up in our life. And, you know, on finances and all of this and all these doors open and all this amazing stuff. She was totally attributing. And I was not feeding the fire at all. I was just kind of like, yeah, that's awesome. Yes, it does. It does and does. But she just kept on and on about how once they tapped into this principle, that God started showing himself strong and powerful on their behalf. And while we're having this conversation, you know what conversations God is having with me? The conversation he's having with me is, that's awesome, but let's go beyond that. Because what we'll do is we'll come in and we'll stop at the tithe when the tithe means tenth. And we'll stop at the tithe and we'll say, God requires, listen to me, God requires a tenth of everything that I own, of everything that I have. And I can, man, I can carry you and I can show you a bunch of scripture, you know, Old Testament and even trumped in the New Testament about giving and all of this stuff and about the tithe. And I believe that's a law. I believe that's a principle. And we adhere to that. But God said, instead of following a list and you do it, and you know what? He said, the word says to try me and see if I won't concerning that. And so you know what? God will do that. His word promises that. But the word that the Lord was speaking to me while I was having this conversation with her is, what if we just, let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond the letter of the law. Let's go beyond the 10%. And let's start getting to the place to where we do what His heart is. That whatever your heart is, Lord, I'll say yes to that. And if that means it's 20%, then it's 20%. If that means it's 50%, it's 50%. If that means it's 100%, then it's 100%. Concerning money. Okay, I'm talking concerning money. But the thing is, we come into a place, we say, Lord, whatever your heart is, that's where I want to be. I say yes to that. That's that journey of faith that goes beyond what the written word and what beyond the law. That's that journey of faith of exploration in this. That, God, you just say whatever and I'll do this. In the book of Acts, you know what they did? It said they came and they brought their possessions at the feet of the disciples and they distributed it as the need was required. And it said they brought such as they had. That does not mean that they became socialists and they gave everything and then it was equally distributed. They came and they brought what God put on their heart. If a guy had land and God said, I want you to sell 10 acres of your land and bring the money, then sell 10 acres of your land and bring the money. Peter even said this to Ananias and Sapphira when they came. He said, why? Because, you know, they lied about what they gave and God struck them dead and killed them and all that. Everybody know that story? Peter said, while it was in your possession, wasn't it yours to do whatever you wanted to with it? If you'd came in and said, man, we sold 1 acre and here's $2,000, then they'd been high-fiving all the room. So he said, the key is what is the heart of the Father? What does He want us to do? Let me tell you something that just recently happened with us, and please take this. I'm just trying to encourage you guys and give you permission to say yes and just to trust God in stuff. I told you a couple weeks ago that about the daycare down at Mi Esperanza in Honduras. When we were down in there in February, God really moved on our heart. We went in and boy, our heart just leapt. I looked at Lori and I knew immediately what she was thinking. And I leaned over to Marty and I said, we're on board with this. Whatever that looks like, we're on board. And we really felt like that was what God wanted to do to honor Rylan. And so we came back and we talked to Jacob and Stephanie about it. And Jacob and Stephanie had set aside $5,000 for a memorial for Rylan. And to do something that would benefit children but would honor Rylan also. And that's been sitting in our church fund for a long time. But we didn't want to spend it on something that wasn't what the heart of the Father was. And so I've been back and forth all summer with Lori Connell, the founder down at Mi Esperanza. And originally for the longest, I didn't tell her any kind of money amounts or anything. I just said, we just want to make some donations. We want to help you guys out. Tell us what it's going to take. I just left it open. Tell us what it's going to take. And so we've been back and forth. Finally, she emailed me back and said, hey, we finally got all the building permits and the approvals, the government approvals and all of this stuff and everything. And when she did, then, you know, with all of that, I said, okay, here's what we've got. I said, we've got $10,000 we're going to send down there. And, you know, of course, she's ecstatic. She said, that's going to put us over the top. That's going to finish the nursery and get us started on the funding and all of that. The cool thing about it was me and Lori really felt like the heart of the Father was for us to match what Jacob and Stephanie had set aside. And he moved on mine and Lori's heart, and we said, okay, we'll donate $5,000 to this. And so we told Jacob and Stephanie, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put $5,000 in, so we'll have $10,000 to do some significant stuff down there. And the amount doesn't really matter because God could have told us $1,000 or He could have told us $10,000 for us. What mattered was the fact that we said, Father, whatever your heart is, that's what we say yes to. And so we came in, and the timing of it's real cool to me. And I hope this encourages somebody and challenges some people to just say yes to when God's stirring in your heart. Because I thought it took forever for all this to come to fruition. And it's slower in other countries and all of that stuff. Well, finally, when it was time, they're actually starting construction right after the first of the year. And when it got down, we sent the check down from the church that Jacob and Stephanie had set aside. I sent mine and Lori's check in the week before Thanksgiving. And, to me, it's just so cool. You know, I told Lori, I said, hey, the checks are going, they're headed your way and all of this stuff. And, you know, so excited to be a part of this and all that. So we sent our check the week before Thanksgiving. And last year with our business, we do Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales with our online sales. And we had a good year last year. It was good. I was surprised. I was like, dang, man, that was good and all that. Well, this year, God absolutely blew my mind with our Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales. Our sales went up. Now listen to this. We sent the check in last week, you know, and 5,000 is a stretch. You know, I'm sorry. You start stroking a five, that's a stretch. Okay. And so we did that. We sent it, we mailed it and all this stuff. Our sales on Black Friday, Cyber Monday went up 400%. 400%, not 40%, 400% this year over last year. And we didn't do any other advertising or anything. I didn't told you, Randy, 400%, dog. You say, well, that's just a coincidence. Call it a coincidence if you want to. I look at it as my God's blessing me. Because I come in and I said, Father, whatever your heart is, I say, just tell me what your heart is, Father. If your heart's for us to build a nursery down in Honduras, then that's what I'll do. And we'll partner with wonderful people like Jacob and Stephanie. And we'll partner with wonderful people like Marty and Krista and Mark and Lori Connell that are doing that. Mark's out there building 125 houses a year down there, guys. 125 houses a year is what that joker's building. And I said, Lord, I'll partner with you. You just tell me what your heart is. And I'll say yes to it. And here's the thing. It all gets down to it gets down to desire and trust. My desire. And you say, well, where did that desire come? He put it in me. It ain't because I'm good. I'm jacked up, guys. The good that's in me, he put in there. The generosity that's in me, he put in there. The faith that's in me, he put in there. He said, these things have not entered into your heart yet. See, here's the thing. I had a conversation with God last year when we were down in the spring in Patagonia, and I had, I've said this, I'm not going to keep repeating this, but we had a couple wonderful evenings with the wealthiest people me and Lori's ever sat down with. I mean, and this guy's a stinking billionaire, no doubt, and owns stuff all over the world, castles and wineries and high-end hotels and all this stuff. And we sit and we have a dinner with him. We just have two amazing evenings, sit around till 11 o'clock, two nights in a row and all that stuff, And God said, you think it's a stretch for me to hook you up with somebody like that to advance the kingdom? He said, do you think it's a stretch for me to hook you up with somebody like that? You know what my response to him was? I said, God, I want to be that man. And God said, if you want to be that man, then you show me. And it's not a thing of, I'm going to give so God will give more and all of that stuff. This is not a marketing ploy. This is not a wise investment thing, David. This is a thing where it says, God, I want to be so connected to you that whatever your heart is, I say yes to that. It's cool because finance is a big part of all of our lives, guys. Let's get real. Jesus talks about money a lot in the Bible. So your giving is significant. Your giving is significant, okay? But we look at that and we say, "Whoa, man, that's cool. I want to do that, man. Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll do this, and I'll do this." And you start doing this. But here's the thing: God will also come in and say, "You know what? My heart is concerning time. Because God, I ain't got time for more friends." He says, "Yeah, but you know what? My heart is for people." God, I don't have time. I don't even want to do any weddings this fall. I did about 5 this fall. He says, you know what my heart is toward that couple? I was going to one of them, and it was off, wasn't local. And I was driving down there, man, and I felt the Father's heart for that couple. And it wasn't like they were saying, man, we're going to have a holy moment. We're going to get me. I mean, y'all's wedding was just like, God, we just want you just to breathe in on this thing. This one was not, that wasn't it. It'd be natural for me to feel that toward y'all's wedding. Y'all's wedding was amazing. It was beautiful. And God did breathe on it. And it was like he was standing right down there in the middle of us. But while I was going to this other wedding where that was not the intent of the people that were the bride and the groom and all of this stuff and everything, just want to get married and have an awesome wedding. They want to have an awesome wedding. But it wasn't going to be this deep spiritual thing. But you know what the Father did? The Father showed me his heart toward that couple that at that point in time were not seeking him. But he showed me his heart toward them. And I got messed up going down the road, going to this place over. I don't even know what county it was in. Driving down there, man, I'm down there just crying going down this road to this place, Randy, because the Father was showing me his heart toward this couple. And so you know what my answer better be toward that?
Yes.
Jonathan's servant said, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. And it's cool when we talk about money. It's cool when we talk about that. But what when we talk about time? What when we talk about people that we don't like them, but he loves them? Their personality is different. Their lifestyle is different. Instead of damning them to hell, he says, I want you to love them. I want you to love the people that have different political views. I want you to love the people that are of other religion. I want you to quit hating the Muslims and start loving the Muslims. We come in and we say, God, I want to start on this journey of a faith that explores into knowing your heart. And he said, my spirit will take you there. That's what he says in Corinthians. My spirit will take you there. But you have to open your heart up. You have to open your mind up. And your yes has to be yes. Let's turn in the Bible real quick. Let me see what time it is. We're good. We got 13 minutes. See, a lot of our stuff comes back to trust. Because we'll say, God, I want to, but I can't right now. We'll do it with money. We've done it with cars. We've done it with Harley Davidsons. And God's always blessed and God's always honored. I want to give you guys permission to say yes when God stretches you in your finances. Okay? I want to give you guys permission to do that, because he's warning somebody to say, yeah. Yeah. The word said God loves a hilarious giver. It doesn't say he likes somebody that's going to tithe 10%. It says he loves a hilarious giver. But when we start coming in, it goes beyond that, and it comes in with our giftings. Will you say yes with your giftings? How many of y'all are really, 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 really being used by God? You say it's a bad season for me, brother. You're saying God's not big enough to use you in a busy season. But yet we'll squeeze a ton of other things into it. And I know we're a small church, and there's a lot of people that get asked to do stuff and all of that stuff. But you know what? Some of you guys could be amazing teachers. Some of you guys could be amazing teachers. Y'all could be amazing counselors. Some of y'all might be a pastor sitting out here today. You say, I'm disqualified. No, you're not. I guarantee you the Apostle Paul trumps you when he was Saul of Tarsus. Say, it's not a good season. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I got young kids. Yep. I did too. Come on, I'm just saying. Let's get real. We think we're the only one on the planet. There's people that are coming in and they're giving it all every day. Because you know what? They're wanting to say yes to the heart of the Father. They're wanting to say yes to the heart of the Father. And it's going to be an uncharted territory for some of you guys. It's going to be something I can't point to Scripture to you and say, Leah, this is what it says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. You say, God's stretching me and God's doing this and I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying this. Then say yes to it. Say yes to it. Odds are it's not the devil. Odds are it's not the devil. Look at this. Let's read this scripture real quickly. Mark 5. Everybody turn to Mark 5. Laura, you got anything? Anybody got anything? They jump out there with something. Just wave your hand. Verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 21. I'm going to read out of King James. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, verse 25, this is where Our Lady enters into the story. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood. Basically, guys, what was happening was she was on a constant period. She was on a constant menstrual cycle for 12 years. Any of you ladies imagine dealing with that for 12 years straight? Woo! Any husbands, can you imagine your wife 12 years straight? No! That's what's going on. 12 years of constant menstrual cycle. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Here's the thing about this. We don't see anything in any of these three Gospels that makes us believe that she was already a disciple of Jesus. We don't see anything saying that she was a disciple of John. But there was something that stirred in her. She said, Man, I have been everywhere else and nothing has touched this need in my life. This void in my life. In this, it was a physical sickness. But with us, it could just, man, I feel so unfulfilled. I feel so unsatisfied. And it don't matter how many trips I take to the beach. And it doesn't matter what kind of car I drive. Doesn't matter what kind of house I get. I am unfulfilled. And she heard about a man named Jesus. And they said he was rabbi. They said he was healer. And some said he was Messiah. And there was something that rose up on the inside of her. Look at this verse. I love this verse. For she said, it didn't say Isaiah said. It didn't say any other scripture said. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Something stirred in her and said, girl, grab a hold of the hem of his garment. Maybe she understood what the hem of a priest's garment meant. Maybe she understood that that was the Word of God. It represented the Word of God. We can do a lot of teaching on that stuff. But the thing is she had no reference point whatsoever. But she had a faith that was willing to think outside the box. She had a faith that was willing to think outside of her realm of experience. I have not experienced this. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I up to this point in my life, I've done a lot of things, David, by faith. Because I've seen other people do it. And I'm like, man, if that's working in their life, then you know what, count me in too. I want to get to the point where God carries me to places nobody else has been. And that's not an ego thing. That's not an arrogant thing. Because y'all know me. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't have an Instagram account. I don't have a Facebook account. There is nothing in me that wants to publicize and say, oh, big dog minister pastor said. I just want to go there because I want to be that close with him. I want to see sides of God that nobody's ever seen. God says, let me take you up here. John said, I know a man. Whether he was in the body or out of the body. I'm not sure. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. God carried them to these places, and they showed them things. And some of it, he wouldn't even let them write it down yet. He said, I don't want that recorded. You know what I want that to be? I want that to be part of David's faith exploration into my heart. And if you don't write it down, then they'll have to explore to find it. Come on. Come on. And I want to go to these places where I see parts of God and I hear stuff and I'm like, that's the thing I love about these pioneers. I love these pioneers like Katie Davis and Heidi Baker and all of these people. I love Katie Davis's story. Man, I think she's a hero. She's a little 19-year-old girl and she goes to Uganda and says, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to adopt 9 kids. I'm a single 19-year-old girl. What told her to do that? What precedent? Common sense would say you're an idiot. She's a pretty, affluent, I say affluent, upper middle class, Caucasian girl from the South, and you're going to go to an underdeveloped country in Africa. Ain't safe. I ain't saying I'd feel warm and fuzzy about Michaela doing it next week. But who told her to? Holy Spirit. She said yes. She said yes. You know what they're doing now? Their five-year project now. The previous 5 years, they've done built this huge school over there. They've got about 400 kids, I think, that they're boarding. They're feeding them every day, and they're boarding them, and they're educating them. I got a video the other day, and it just rocked my world, showing all the school and all of this stuff and the land that God had given them and the way that God was using them in this huge, mighty, massive way. And then the video they sent me, it says, what will the next 5 years look like? We don't know, but God's launching us out, and they're about to expand, and they're about to get bigger in this land that God's given them. You know what they're going to do? They're going to influence more people, and they're going to feed more children, and they're going to educate more children, and they're going to bring more of them to Christ. And Heidi Baker started as a little missionary girl, or a girl that just went on a mission trip from California. And as a young Christian, she said yes to taking over an abandoned, run-down orphanage in Mozambique. And she's only feeding 10,000 kids every day right now. 10,000 kids. Y'all wrap your head around that, brother. 10,000 every day. Not only is she feeding them, they're educating them. And they're bringing them to Christ. And most of them are Muslim kids. But they're changing their family and they're changing the culture. And it all started out not by her saying, you know what, I'm going to follow this pattern. Here's the thing, none of y'all can go out there and y'all can follow Katie Davis's plan. Because what we'll do now is we'll say, let's follow her model and let's follow her pattern. And then what you've got to follow is, what does Holy Spirit say to Robin? He said, Robin, this is what I want you to do. This is my plan for you, and this is my model for you, and this is how we're going to do this. And this is how I'm going to bless you. Don't follow my plan. Capture his heart. Don't follow my plan. Capture his heart. Capture his heart. But get on this journey of faith, this faith that explores into the heart of God. Say, God, the part that you said that I hadn't seen, let that be your prayer this coming year. I want to see stuff about you I've never seen about you before. And that'll captivate you. You won't be bored in your faith. The reason some of y'all are bored in your faith is because you're stagnant in your faith. Because you stopped exploring. You stopped exploring. You settled. And so this woman with the issue of blood, she She comes in. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And so you know what she did? She followed up on it and she did it. It wasn't a thing of, boy, I wish I'd have done that. I missed out. If I'd have known the result, that's why it's called a faith that explores. Something in her said, grab the hem of his garment. And so you know what she did? She grabbed the hem of his garment. She touched it. And immediately in this, and Jesus, verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I love that. But here's what's awesome to me also, is Jesus was so aware of the presence of heaven in him and around him, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Didn't nobody have to tell him, immediately knew. You know what quickened him and told him? Holy Spirit living inside of him. Turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And all his disciples are like, really? Lord, this whole multitude's thronging you. And you said, who touched my clothes? If you're in a crowd and I bump into you, you might feel that. But if you're in the crowd and you're wearing a long robe and I come up and I touch the hem of your robe, you ain't going to feel that. It wasn't that Jesus felt the tug. He felt something that left. And you know what caused something to leave? The faith that explored outside of her realm of experience. God's got stuff for you, man, that you have not. Don't think you've experienced the totality of God. You hadn't. You could study this for 1,000 years and you still wouldn't experience the totality of God just by studying this. It's a journey of faith with you and Him and the Holy Spirit and Father God. And this reveals him. But it just launches you into the journey. I'm not saying don't study it, study it. It's life in here. It's truth in here. But he wants to carry you even deeper and further. And this is an awesome part of it. It's an awesome, amazing part of the journey. But don't think just because I got John 3:16 figured out, don't think just because I got the Ten Commandments figured out. Like I said a while ago, there was a rich young ruler that had the Ten Commandments nailed. He even proudly told Jesus, he said, Lord, I've done all of this stuff from my youth. Not only do I have it going on, I've had it going on my whole life. Jesus said, you're still lacking something. That's a faith that explores. Faith that explores. Man, it's 8:04. We'll continue on this. I want to challenge you because God wants to. You know what His heart for you is? To be more. And when you are more, you'll do more. When you are more, you'll do more. Just following the rules is shallow and weak. Everybody hear me on that? Just following the rules is shallow and weak. But will you start a spiritual journey of faith that explores beyond what you even thought was possible? Corporately, you know what we've done? We've stopped exploring corporately. And I want us to press back into that. Well, we show up and we're like, God, I don't know what you're going to do today, but whatever your heart is, yes. And we actually expect and believe for big stuff instead of just coming in and saying, man, let's have a good church service. I got it going on good in my life. Let's just have a good church service. And I'll be honest with you, I fall into that. I'm like, God, you're rocking my private world. So, man, let's just keep kind of doing our thing up here. And God said, will you believe for more in corporate? In corporate, will you? Faith that explores. What does real worship look like? What does it sound like? This is good. Worship's like way, way, way bigger than just this. It's way, way bigger than a worship conference that I go to. Luke, I want to get on this expiration. I want to be Lewis and Clark for others. I want to be Lewis and Clark spiritually for others. To where I don't know what's out there, but Spirit, where you lead me, I say yes. What your heart is, Father, I say yes. I say yes. I want to be Jonathan's armor bearer. God, whatever's in your heart, I'm good. Let's do it. Let's do it. Jesus, whatever's in your heart, let's do it. Let's do it. So we're about to start a war. That's what Jonathan was about. Jonathan was about to start a war, guys. He was about to start a garrison of troops. Here's the thing about an armor bearer, is you're toting somebody else's weapons. I always thought that the suckiest job in the world on the old school armies, the suckiest job in the world would be the guy that carried the flag. You ain't shooting nobody. You getting shot at, but you ain't shooting nobody. But if you trust the one that's got the weapons, then you're safe. And so he said, Jonathan, I trust you. I don't know how many there are, and I don't care how many they are. I trust you. So whatever your heart is, count me in. That's the thing about God. He's big enough to cover it. He's big enough to cover it. He's big enough to redeem the time. He's big enough to cover the check. He's big enough to take care of the finances. He's big enough to take care of the job. He's big enough to do all that. It really comes down to trust. So let's stand to our feet. I'm finished. And I really feel like tonight, the sticking point with a few folks is you're like, man, I just really ain't feeling it. I hear what you're saying. I think it's awesome, and you might think it's noble and all of that stuff, everything that we talked about tonight. You say, man, I just really, be honest with you, see it, I'm just not feeling it. And I want to take you back to that scripture in Corinthians chapter 2. He said, not only are there things that you'll see and things that you'll hear, but he said, God will put stuff into your heart. So I want to tell you, just keep your faith open. Stay tethered. Surround yourself with kingdom presence and kingdom people. And if you do that, you will be amazed at what catches fire in your life. Alright? So don't let that be the sticking point. It says, man, I can't be that guy. And you'll walk away. Me and Lori were passionately talking to our aunt Monday night. We spent the night with her in South Georgia, and we were passionately talking to her about mission work and all of that, and she's getting excited and fired up and all that. She told Lori, she says, "Man, I'm just not that adventurous and brave and courageous on that kind of stuff and everything." And I said, "Yeah, you are. Just keep your heart open. You'll be amazed what God will put in there. You'll be amazed what God will put in there. You'll be amazed. So just keep your heart open tonight. Keep your heart open. And say, God, give me a faith that explores. A faith that explores. A faith that explores." All right? As always, the altar's open. I encourage you to come down and take communion with the Lord. Part of that's your yes to Him. Your yes to His, yes to you. And, man, He's got amazing things for all of us. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, we just say yes to whatever's in Your heart. Yes to whatever's in Your heart. Concerning us, concerning the world around us, yes to whatever's in Your heart. Because I know You're good. You're good. And I know Your desires for us. And their blessings and their abundance. So however that plays out, I say yes to Your heart. It's in Jesus' name. We ask, we declare, and we give thanks for all these things. Amen.